This is an Aero News Touch and Go for May 15, 2009. I'm Paul Plack. With the number of remaining U.S. space shuttle missions now down to single digits, how much is it going to cost NASA to get a seat on the Russian Soyuz craft that will become the workhorse for crew transport to the International Space Station after next year? Reuters reports Russian news agencies have announced Roscosmos plans to charge the U.S. $51 million per seat starting in 2010. That's up from the $20 million per seat charged early space tourists and the $35 million paid more recently by tourinaut Charles Simony on his second visit to the ISS. At first, the doubling of the size of space station crews was thought to mark the end of private contracts for tourism flights on Soyuz vehicles, but the Russians now say plans to send a trained cosmonaut along on a flight this September have been canceled, freeing up a seat. Roscosmos chief Anatoly Permanov now says, quote, "This form of tourism will continue," unquote. I suppose for anybody who could swing 20 or 35 million, 51 million may still be doable too. If you're flying this summer, here's a tip. Make sure when you book your tickets that you use exactly the same form of your name, including middle name or initial, as appears on the government-issued picture ID you're going to use when you get to the security line at the airport. The Transportation Security Administration is beginning phase one of its Secure Flight Initiative, designed to reduce the number of false hits on the watch list, which have frustrated passengers ranging from everyday folk to congressmen. When phase two starts in August, you'll also have to enter your date of birth and sex when booking to further refine the process. The goal is to eliminate cases of unwarranted denial of boarding to people with names similar to terrorists. TSA's goal is to be vetting all domestic passengers by early next year and all international passengers by the end of 2010. One of the major advances in aircraft maintenance in recent years has been the replacement of arbitrary hours-based maintenance regimens with on-condition procedures, in which inspections are used to determine when maintenance is required. Using engine overhauls as an example, it serves both safety and economy to let engines which spec out like new keep flying past the recommended TBO while overhauling some engines before TBO based on appropriate wear metrics. The principle has been proven sound, but there's only so much you can tell about an aircraft using a compression tester or a borescope. Honeywell is taking the next step. At EBACE, the company announced a new system of embedded sensors and data analysis, which will allow intelligent mechanical health monitoring of helicopters. Honeywell VP Mike Cuff says of the new Honeywell Zing portfolio, quote, "By continually monitoring the aircraft's operational systems and identifying the health status, Zing improves aircraft readiness and availability. Operators who use this system gain a significant advantage, lower operational costs," unquote. The sensors gather health status of the engine, gearbox, shafts, fans, and rotor systems. You can find out more at honeywell.com. This has been an Aero News Touch and Go. Don't forget to check out our complete Aero briefing. There we'll tell you more about these stories. Those intercepts in the early morning skies were just a drill. Congress weighs a greater role for CAP in homeland security. And the UK's Red Arrows demo team gets its first woman pilot. Also check out the ANN special feature. Today, Kate Hannay of FlyersRights.org says that the Department of Transportation's first release of statistics on tarmac strandings is unbelievable, literally. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, iPodder, Podcast Alley, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.